Blog Talk Radio.
Positive people.
Devotional of interfaith using prayers and readings that hopefully will resonate with a wide variety of people. We are not simply about reaching out to Christians, nor Jews, nor only Muslims, nor only Hindus, nor only Buddhists, nor only pagans. Our aim is a lot broader, a lot wider. We're trying to reach out in faith, harmony, understanding, and ultimately cooperation with all good people of all faith traditions and all spiritual walks, and hopefully also those good people who do not have a faith tradition nor a spiritual walk, but simply good people who want to help other people to become better people. And we hope to be able to do this in a wide and broad, non-sectarian manner. For our opening prayer, opening devotional, I'd like to offer up a writing of St. Francis of Assisi, the Canticle of Brother Son. Most High, all-powerful, good Lord, yours are the praises, the glory, the honor, and all blessing. To you alone, Most High, do they belong, and no one is worthy to mention your name. Be praised, my Lord, through all your creatures, especially through my Lord, Brother Son, who brings the day, and you give light through him. And he is beautiful and radiant in all his splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. Praise be you, my Lord, through sister moon and the stars in heaven. You form them clear and precious and beautiful. Praise be you, my Lord, through brother wind and through the air cloudy and serene, and every kind of weather through which you give sustenance to your creatures. Praise be you, my Lord, through sister water, which is very useful and humble and precious and chaste. Praise be you, my Lord, through brother fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praise be you, my Lord, through sister Mother Earth, who sustains us and governs us, and who produces varied fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Praise be you, my Lord, through those who give pardon for your love, and who bear infirmity and tribulation. Blessed are those who endure in peace, for by you, Most High, they shall be crowned. And praise be you, my Lord, through our sister, bodily death, from whom no living creature can escape. Blessed are those whom death will find in your most holy will, for the second death shall do them no harm. Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility. Amen.
Good people,
Mexico,
good people.
in Romania,
good people
in India,
good people
in Syria,
good people
in Venezuela.
The rewards of wisdom. Wisdom teaches her children and gives help to those who seek her. Whoever holds her fast inherits glory. Whoever loves her loves life, and those who seek her from early morning are filled with joy. And the Lord blesses the place she enters. Those who serve her minister to the Holy One, and the Lord loves those who love her. Those who obey her will judge the nations, and all who listen to her will live secure. If they remain faithful, they shall inherit her, and their descendants will also obtain her. And so let it be. Amen.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go. To right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my
Dream, a song from the movie A Man for Old Seasons, I believe it was, the story of Don Quixote, the Man of La Mancha. The Man of La Mancha is a story that goes back ages. Goes back to the Dark Ages, as a matter of fact, the Dark Ages of the Spanish Inquisition. Spanish Inquisition was a time in which interfaith harmony, cooperation, understanding, and peace were considered to be the impossible dream. It was a dark time in our history, history of Europe, a history that we all, be we Europeans or not, carry within our hearts, for the world has seen many such dark ages. The Spanish Inquisition is just one small example of how hatred and misunderstanding and ignorance can run amok within our collective societies. But it was a time in which Catholics persecuted Christians of other denominations, as well as Jews and Muslims, and anybody else that the Holy Roman Catholic Church did not agree with. Now, thankfully, those times have changed somewhat. But the hatred, the anger, the bitterness, the fear, the misunderstanding, the ignorance, these things, unfortunately, still find a home within our hearts. And that idea, that quest of creating a world in which there is a land of tolerance, in which there is respect for all life, in which there is understanding, unconditional love, unconditional compassion for all. That is still considered to be an impossible dream. In preparing our mission statement for Temple of the Infinite Universe, our online fellowship in which we state it to be our cause, to help promote interfaith understanding, I wrote the following paragraph. This is point one of the mission statement for Temple of the Infinite Universe. We resolve to promote interfaith harmony and establish the groundwork for a true and lasting world peace. To these ends, we vow to engage in mutually respectful interfaith dialogue and advocate for the implementation of meditation and other spiritual practices to cultivate good health, healthy attitudes, and inner peace. Outer worldly peace can only be realized from the widespread cultivation of inner peace and the raising of collective consciousness. Now, after I wrote those words and then looked back and read them, I had to chuckle to myself because it seemed to me like I was running for Miss America and not really laying the groundwork for an interfaith spiritual temple to promote world peace, a true and lasting world peace. That's something that you might hear from a candidate for Miss America or Miss Universe, but it doesn't have to stop there. Why can't we work towards a true and lasting world peace? Why do we chuckle when we hear those words spoken, and spoken seriously? Is it because we have been conditioned by our collective cultures and societies that these dreams are the dreams of children and not the pursuits of mature men and women? Is it because, as beautiful as these words sound, we consider them to be unobtainable, impractical, impossible to realize within our lives and within our worlds. Numerous times I've heard people say, when confronted with spiritual truths like this, I can't do it. I'm just a weak human being. This sounds like a beautiful way, but I cannot walk it. Indeed, this seems like the impossible dream. But it's not impossible. It's merely difficult. It's difficult because we focus so much time and so much energy on the ways of this world, and we have lost sight of our spiritual purpose, the reason we came into this world. I am reminded of a story of a man who went through the experience of a near death. We call it a near death experience. When he came before the God of his understanding, a ball of light which examined him in a non-judgmental way, and filled him with a feeling of peace and love. This man, for a brief moment, recalled the world that he had just left before ascending to this God of his understanding, this being of infinite light and love and compassion. And for a moment, anger filled the heart of this man, and he laid into the Almighty and he said, I have just left a world in which there is war, which there is pain, which there is unspeakable suffering. How could you allow this to continue? And the being of light, this God of this man's understanding, turned the question right back around on the man that came before him. And he said, how could you, O man, allow this to happen? For that is the reason I put you on that earth, to make a difference, to try to overcome that hatred, that warfare, that sickness, that disease, that unspeakable suffering. Why did you allow it to continue to persist in the world around you? To that, the man had no answer, and his eyes were opened, and he realized the true meaning of his life on earth. It wasn't necessarily to change the world. It was, however, to make an attempt to give it his best try to change the world around him. That when he saw pain, when he saw suffering, when he saw that unspeakable horror, that he was to do whatever it was he could do to help to make a difference. We might understand this in the words of a prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow your love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And to me, the lesson of that man's near-death experience And the prayer of St. Francis is that we are to take time each and every day to cultivate the higher energy of love, the higher energy of peace and understanding, the higher energy of acceptance and compassion. And then after we cultivate that in our individual lives, do our best to radiate that out into our outer world and to strive to make a difference. And it's difficult because the world around us does not necessarily teach us a lesson of love. It rather teaches us lessons of hatred, lessons of prejudice and intolerance. But when we find love, we can feel it. We know it for what it is, and it gives us the energy we need in order to fulfill our purpose on this world. I'd like to pause for a moment and play a short recording. It's a jazz record, somewhere from the 1920s, I believe, entitled Love.
Wonder what's on inside of me. Oh, love.
Yes, 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 it's love.
Oh, love.
Yes, 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 it's love.
Tell me. I wanna know.
Tell me.
I just gotta know.
Oh.
Call for my doctor. It's what he said. You can hear patience. It's a mystery. It's got me wondering. What can it be? Can it be love?
Yes, yes, yes,
tell me.
I want
to know.
Tell me.
I just got to know.
Love.
I know true feeling. Don't tell no lie. I know good pilots go down with the plane.
I know
good captain, baby.
I
go down with the ship. And if a woman loves a man,
tell me.
I think she'll do the same.
Tell me.
Tonight, yeah. That's why I want somebody to tell me if this is love.
A short little recording from the 1920s. I don't have the name of the artist in front of me right now, but it's a beautiful little recording about erotic love, love of sexuality. But it can also be applied to the love of neighbor, to the love of friend, love of family, and the unconditional love of one being to another. Not because the other being merits our love, but because love is the energy of creation and the energy of renewal and the energy which literally makes this world, the universe, and the multiverse turn around. We don't always see love in the world around us, but when we do, gives us time to refresh, to recharge, to put a smile on our face, and to stop and think, are the problems that we fret about each and every day Are they really that important? What is the most important thing in this life? Is it really to be a success in business, a success in politics, a success in the multinational corporate world of affairs? Or is it rather to be love, to show love, to promote love? In the end, when we're on our deathbed, preparing to face the God, Goddess, the Holy One, the Divine, as we understand the Divine, and when we reflect back on our life, what will be the most important things that stick out in our memories? What will be our deepest regrets? Will our deepest regret be, oh my God, I should have worked more overtime. I really blew it on that one stock deal. Or will our deepest regret be the times in our life when we exercised a failure to love, a failure to love either a friend, a family member, a homeless man or woman on the street, a stray animal, a failure of love on any level? I believe when we look back on our lives, on that one final moment, our deepest regret will revolve around love, our failure to love, and our deepest satisfaction, our deepest reward, will be those times in which we learned our lesson, in which we grew from those failures, and we practiced love. We put that love into action. How do we do this? Briefly, I believe this can be done. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes unconditional love and forgiveness on our part for ourselves, because when we attempt to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unfightable foe, and go on that quest to do what most people consider to be impossible, we are going to experience many, many failures. And we will experience these failures not because it is an impossible dream, but because it is difficult. It is the work of many lifetimes. It is the work of many generations. It's not something that's going to be realized overnight. The teachings of enlightened masters, from Buddha to Jesus to now, we're talking about a time period of 2,500 years in which this message has been proclaimed. This message has been taught by one worthy disciple to another worthy disciple. And we are still not at that point in our evolution where the way of love is considered to be obvious. In fact, we're still at a point in our collective evolution where the way of love still seems so childish that it is laughable. But when we take the time, preferably in the early morning hour, to align ourselves with the energy of love in whatever way we understand this energy. Could be in the form of the Almighty, the Divine Source, in whatever manifestation you know this Divine Source, whether you call this Divine Source God or Goddess or simply George Jones, by whatever name you know the Divine Source, spend some time each morning to align yourself with this divine source, with this power of love. Make it your focus to be filled with love, so that you may radiate the energy of love into the outer world. Take at least a few minutes every morning to speak to the God, Goddess of your understanding. Let this higher power know what is on your mind and what is in your heart. Not because the higher power does not know already, because the higher power does, but because we need to make a practice of putting our energy out into the universe. Because if that energy is negative, then the universe can transform it and give it back to us anew. And if our energy is positive, the higher power, the source, the universe, can take that positive energy and supercharge it and make it even more positive. And in our prayer, in our little talk with the Almighty, as we understand the Almighty, we hand over this energy, whatever form it is. We just simply say, here I am. Take this energy. Take my concerns. And the higher power can take that, transform it, and then through meditation, through the practice of deep listening, we receive back a more purified energy. And then once we receive that purified energy, that higher energy of love, we are then empowered to take that love back out into the world around us and allow our light to shine. Jesus, in one of his teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Let your light shine before the world so that others may see the good that you do and give glory to God in heaven." If we take our light and we hide it under a bushel basket, as it were, who can see the good that we do? Who can see our light? And if the light within us be darkness, then we are in a very sorry state of affairs. That's why we need to open ourselves up. Open ourselves up to the source of light as we understand this source. Be filled with the power of love. Focus that power of love and allow that power of love to become stronger than the power of darkness and hatred and confusion which fills the world around us. Or at least, if we watch mainstream media, we believe that the power of darkness fills the world around us. And that can be another step we can follow, is to take the time to carefully monitor what it is we watch in the mainstream media. What kind of shows do we watch on TV? Are they shows that fill us with hope? Or are they shows that make us cynical? There was an article in an online newspaper that caught my eye a few weeks ago about a church bombing. I believe this one was in Pakistan. And the headline was 14 dead, 75 wounded in church bombing. And that was the bad news that Sunday morning. And I remember thinking, my God, how crazy can some people be? How dark is the world around us where people can go to church and instead of praising the God of their understanding, they're bombed, many killed, many wounded. And then the understanding came to my mind that this wasn't the real news, oddly enough. It's the news that the press that day chose to run with. But it wasn't the news from all around the world. The deeper news from all around the world is something like this. Yes, there was a church bombing. Yes, 14 people were killed, and 70 to 80 some were wounded. But on that same day, all around the world, in many other nations, hundreds of thousands of people went to church and were not harassed in any way. They went to church, they focused on the God of their understanding, they received whatever blessings it was that they sought to receive, at least many did, some didn't, and then they went home, unharmed, unharassed. But that's not the news that the press chooses to focus upon. The mainstream media does not focus on good news, because good news does not sell papers. Bad news sells paper. If it bleeds, it screams, and it goes on page one. It's the bad news that the mainstream media wants to force down our throat, because that's what gets us excited. That is what they think gets us motivated. It's what makes us angry, confused, depressed. And when we get angry, confused, depressed, then the politicians can sell us solutions to these problems, and drug companies can sell us drugs, medications, antidepressants, and the liquor companies can sell us booze. If we are kept in a state of anger, frustration, and confusion, then the worldly powers that want to control humanity, the powers of darkness, as it were, can take advantage of that lower energy and use it to sell us things that they think we need, things that they think we want, and control us through the lower energy of fear and hatred and anger and confusion and the like. And as long as we allow them the power to manipulate us using those lower emotions, these lower energies, then we will forever be sheep being led to the slaughter, as it were. But if we choose to turn off the media and to tune in to the wider reality around us, to the fact that there still are good people in the world, all over the world, from every nation, from every religion, from every walk in life, from every spiritual tradition and none, then we realize that we can experience the goodness that there is in the world. The media would have us be blinded to this goodness and focus rather on the hate. But if we learn to turn off the media, at least for a few hours each day, and get out in the real world where there are good people and there is hope, and we focus on that higher energy of love, then we will find our true purpose and evolve from mere sheep or dogs or pigs and evolve into the true human being, the higher soul motivated by love. I'd like to read a short prayer from the Buddhist tradition for unconditional love. May those who malign me or harm me or accuse me falsely, and all others, may they all be recipients of awakening. May I be a protector of the helpless, a guide for those on the path, a boat, a bridge for those who wish to cross over. May I be a lamp for those in darkness, a bed for the weary, a servant to all who need help. May I become a wish-fulfilling jewel, an inexhaustible jar, a powerful mantra, a cure for all sickness, a channel of plenty for all creatures. As Earth and the other realms are enjoyed by innumerable beings living throughout space, so may I be the sustenance for various beings in all the realms of space for as long as all are not satisfied. And may all be blessed, content, and easily satisfied. The work, as I see it, of the true human being, for the disciple from whatever spiritual path who seeks to walk in the ways of love, the challenge is to take the energy that we see in the world and attempt to transform it. But we cannot do that until we take the lower energies within our heart and transform those energies there, where we see anger, find it within our hearts, and focus on transforming it into love. Acknowledge that it is there. Don't try to deny it. Don't try to hide it. But acknowledge it as being there. And then cuddle it as you would an angry child or a dog that's being a bit rambunctious, and show it love and allow the power of love from the divine to transform that anger into something better. We're not here to deny our emotions. We're not here to deny our lower qualities. We are here to learn from them and to find ways to creatively transform these lower qualities into higher qualities. And we can do that by simply seeing them for what they are, learning whatever lesson it is that we can learn from them, and then give it over to our higher power, that it may be purified and transformed and given back. And to this end, prayer and meditation are essential, at least from my point of view. And there are many, many, many different varieties, different ways in which we can practice prayer and meditation. But first we have to recognize for what it is: a giving over of our energy into the universe, allowing the universe to take that energy and transform it, and then give it back. And to do this, we need to focus on what it is we really want, what it is we really need. If our desire is to be filled with love, to walk the path of love, to radiate love into a world of darkness, into a world that is desperately in need of love and healing, then the universe will help us in this regard. The universe will come to our aid, and the universe will conspire for our success in this mission. And if our energy is focused on the lower, the power of fear, the power of darkness, the power of anger, the power of hatred, if that's what we want to cultivate in our lives, then the universe will cooperate with us in trying to bring that about too, and we see that in spades all around us. And this is so that we will learn from our mistakes, so that we will learn from the darkness that we see in the world, so that we will eventually come to understand that the darkness we see is not eternal. It will give way to daybreak. It will give way to light. And that all we have to do in order to learn from the darkness is to again see it for what it is. Light our candle. Let our light shine and begin to make a difference within our world. I'm going to close this devotional with a reading from the works of Mahatma Gandhi, which he speaks on the law of love. We must either let the law of love rule us through and through, or not at all. Love among us, based on hatred of others, breaks down under the slightest pressure. The fact is, such love is never real love. It is an armed peace, and so it will be in this great movement in the West against war. War will only be stopped when the conscience of mankind, or humankind, has become sufficiently elevated to recognize the undisputed supremacy of the law of love in all the walks of life. Some say this will never come to pass. I shall retain the faith till the end of my earthly existence that this shall come to pass. Nonviolence is a weapon of the strong. With the weak, it might easily be hypocrisy. Fear and love are contradictory terms. Love is reckless in giving away, oblivious as to what it gets in return. Love wrestles with the world as with itself, and ultimately gains a mastery over all other feelings. My daily experience, as of those who are working with me, is that every problem would lend itself to solution if we were determined to make the law of truth and nonviolence the law of life. For truth and nonviolence are, to me, faces of the same coin. Whether humanity will consciously follow the law of love, I do not know. But that need not perturb us. The law of love will work, just as the law of gravitation will work, whether we accept it or not. And just as a scientist will work wonders out of various applications of the laws of nature, even so, a man who applies the law of love with scientific precision can work greater wonders. For the force of nonviolence is infinitely more wonderful and subtle than the force of nature, like, for instance, electricity. The people who discovered for us the law of love were far greater scientists than any of our modern scientists. Only our explorations in this field have not yet gone far enough so that it is not yet possible for all to see its working. Such, at any rate, is the hallucination, if indeed it be one, under which I am laboring. The more I work at this law of love, the more I feel the delight in life, the delight in the scheme of this universe. It gives me a peace and a meaning of the mysteries of nature that I have no power to describe. That is Mahatma Gandhi, from the Essential Writings of Mahatma Gandhi. So the quest, the impossible dream of following the energy of love, living a life of love, it is difficult, and it may seem impossible, but it is doable, only difficult. And spreading the energy of love out into the world to the point in which we actually do see world peace and interfaith harmony and cooperation amongst different peoples and different tribes and different nations and different churches, including that of the atheist. It is not something that will be realized in the short term, at least I do not believe it. We have been working at this, you know, as it were, undercover for over 2,500 years. and we're just now making a dent. This is still the work of many generations. But with each age, we have a dark period, and we have a period of light. And I believe that sometime soon, we will begin to see the dawning of a new period of light, in which people will once again be receptive to this law of love, begin to see the futility of war without end, of hatred unchecked, of ignorance running amok, and will begin to seek the wisdom that comes to us from above. That is my hope. That is my dream. And that is the quest, the temple of the infinite universe, helping good people from all walks of life come together, learn from one another, and raise that higher energy of love. I'm going to pause and close this devotional with a song by the Saba Saba, Calling of the Tribes. Because we all come from many different tribes, but in the end, we are one tribe, one people. And it is time to come together. Blessings, and so mote it be.
Hey!